AM 790 Talk and Business presents Water Fire Ignites Rhode Island with your host, Bronwyn Dannenfelser. Join Bronwyn to hear about the next water fire event in downtown Providence, plus other great cultural events happening in the community. Now, here's your host, Bronwyn Dannenfelser.
And hello, 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 and happy Thursday, everyone. What a beautiful, gorgeous day again. Hey, Brett Ferruccio, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Yeah, well, so Brett is our incredible producer who makes us all look better than we ever are. So what did you do this weekend, Brett?
Not much.
Well, anyway, well, what we did this weekend is we went down and we went to Providence Fest, which was absolutely amazing. And if you heard the show last week, that is what we were talking about, and the beauty and the art and everything that we have here in Rhode Island that is just so wonderful. But in Providence itself, and I was amazed. I got to see dinosaurs. I got to listen to the most incredible music. And I was so joyed to see our city alive. And I am always joyed to see that because, as you know, we're talking about water fire, which the next water fire is on June 18th, by the way. And I know it's been a little while, so there's been like a 3-week hiatus since our last one. And the biggest thing that, there's a couple of things happening, actually, that are so big and so incredible. It's not only the CVS Charity Classic and CVS Health has sponsored the water fire for June 18th, but also on that day is the Pride Fest and the Gay Pride Fest. And it's a huge anniversary. It's 40 years. So it is a day. Like, it's not just an evening, come down to water fire in the evening. There's a whole day filled with activities and wonder and joy and celebration, which is long overdue. So I wanted to start this program off and talk with some very dear friends of mine. One, Arthur Richter. Hello, Arthur.
Hello there.
How are you, my friend?
I'm great. I'm so happy to be here.
I am always happy to have you here because you are probably one of the most well-spoken men I've ever met and engaging, as well as you know the story that goes behind this 40 years
intimately,
of Gay Pride.
Intimately.
Intimately. And I thought that it was important to bring it to the audiences, your experience. And, you know, we have been working with Gay Pride and our Pride Fest. I'm not sure what they call it anymore. It changes names every now and then. So
I think they have changed it. I really... I'm not an authority on the title, so I don't want to speak out of turn.
But I think it's Pride Fest, and it's going to be an amazing day moving into the evening. They've got so many things going on. But the reason I wanted to bring you on is that after 40 years of history, and this is their birthday, Arthur, would you be willing to tell us about your story?
Oh, I'd be happy to. Of course, you haven't mentioned the other guest in the studio. I don't know whether he's going to be identified
or
not.
Well, we will mention
him.
I'm
waiting to be, at least as her husband, to be identified as a friend.
I would hope so, Richard.
Well, that's right. It's been a while.
Well, because, all right, so if you're listening to this, that's Richard Dannenfelser, Dr. Reverend Richard Dannenfelser, who spent a lot of time and a lot of movement, correct, and helping to open up these doors.
Well, what's so ironic about this, as we sit here, I walked into Dr. Dannenfelser's office probably 40 or 39 years ago. I had been married At that point, I realized that I was gay, and I had been married, and didn't realize it when I was married. But it evolved over the years, and finally, when it got to the point where I said, "I've got to do something about this," and I talked to a friend, and I said, "I got to talk to somebody. I don't know what to do." And they said, "You have to go see Dr. D." So 38, 39 years ago, I walked into his office at Brown University, and I said to him, "Dick, I think I'm gay. I don't want to go into the details other than what do I do with the rest of my life? I didn't want to blame anybody. I didn't want to go I just needed direction."
So how do you even know what to do? Because at that point, it wasn't even accepted, was it?
No, it wasn't accepted at all. But I trusted Richard, and we actually talked through everything, and within probably a year, I came out to my wife at the time. And it was a very difficult time for us because we had a very good marriage, but this had evolved in me, and I always said, I have to back up again or fast forward.
And beautiful children. Can I just say,
yeah.
Beautiful children.
Thank you. I tell this story to you today as I told it for many, many years to Dick's classes at URI when he was teaching human sexuality. And he called me the first year he was going to do the class, and he said, "When I come to the homosexuals, will you come and talk to the class?" And I said, "I would be happy to," because he had helped me so much identifying myself and coming to grips with my situation. So I used to go to the classes, and the first thing I used to say to them, and now we're going back to the early 80s, I think 80, 81, Richard, right? So I would say to them, "Does anybody in the class know anybody who's gay?" And nobody raised their hands. I did this for Dick for about 7 or 8 years, and at the time that I finished doing it, he had already assembled a panel of speakers, and we had other people coming in. So I always asked the same question every year, and 8 years later, people raised their hands. All of a sudden, people knew people who were gay, or they were going to admit that they knew people who were gay. And they would thank me, and they would thank Richard, and they would thank the panel, because it gave them an opportunity to talk about their loved ones and to help. And I used to close my portion of the talk with saying, "Just remember, we're just like everybody else." And this was 81, 82, and here we are in 2016, and we certainly are like everybody else. I met my husband 16 years ago at a party. We just met, and we didn't see each other for another 6 years, and then we reconnected. And we became partners 11 years ago.
Wow.
But last year, we actually got married.
Well, because we were actually able to get married.
Because finally the United States government decided, and the Supreme Court and President Obama and everybody else, that it was a legal thing. I was talking to my dearest friends today whose anniversary, their wedding anniversary, is this coming Sunday, and they will have been married 10 years, but they're together 35 years, and they had to get married 10 years ago in Canada. They finally got married in 2015 in Rhode Island. The governor, Chafee at the time, was best man for Frank Ferry, and I was best man for Tony Caparco.
I remember that.
Yeah, and they were on the front page of the paper right after gay marriage became legal. So we've come so far,
yes.
And there is just so much more happening today, and now it's more of the struggle about transgendered people. And when you said to me, "What I talk about things that I've done," think that in 1980, well, I'll give you another story. I was a member of, I'm Jewish, and I was a member of one of the temples. I was very active in the temple. I did many, many things on many levels. When they found out that I was gay, I was not asked to stay on the board.
You were ostracized?
I was dropped from the board. I wasn't renominated for the board at the time. They couldn't deal with it.
Well, they sent you outside the camp.
Yeah, they did. Well, I was part of the congregation. I could stay and pay my dues, but I didn't have to be on the board anymore.
I want your money, but I don't want who you are.
Exactly right. So that was always an interesting thing. Of course, today it's not like that at all. And at the temple, you can actually be married in the temple by the rabbi, which awesome. They didn't even know I ever wanted to get married. Never mind, I was only gay at the time, you know. But so I've come from that to the last 5 years I've been involved with an organization called Lifelong Learning Collaborative, which is adult education. And I've been coordinating classes, leading classes for the last 5 years. And it started out when we were doing theater. What else? And then we did a memoir and a writing class, which has been wonderful.
I speak at one of those classes?
Yes, you did. You spoke at, well, that's coming up. That was the backstage at the arts class when we came up with the concept to take people out of the classroom situation and go to different events. And you came and talked about Waterfire. Richard has come and talked about the Kinsey Report and gay and lesbian issues.
Sexualities.
Thank you. Thank you, sexualities. But the most exciting thing for me, when you think about lifelong learning, these are all older people, retired for the most part, people who are taking classes of different subjects that interest them. Last year I proposed a class on the history of gays and lesbians in America. The board was very happy with the suggestion. We had a full house for the class. Richard came and spoke to that class. The same organization happens to have a chapter in Mexico. And I was walking on the streets of the town that we go live in Mexico in the winter, and I see a sign. The beautiful place in San Miguel. That's very dear to Waterfire, right?
Yes.
And I approached them, and I actually taught the same class last year in Mexico.
Oh, wow, that's great.
Think about how far we've come.
All right, so we've only got 2 minutes before we've got to take a break, but I'd love to hear not only the difference between speaking in Mexico about these issues, but I'd like to also hear my husband's thoughts, being someone who has been a very big advocate of gay rights and love in general. He's a Presbyterian minister. We're going to have to phase out for a second. And then when we come back, Richard Arthur Dannenfelter, or Reverend Dr. Dannenfelter, or the Rockin' Rev. You use so many acronyms and names. And
I've been called worse.
Yeah, you have. we'll come back and talk about that. And Arthur, I am just so interested in hearing again the history and seeing how it's unfolded over the years. Everybody, you are listening to AM 790 Talkin' Business and Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island, and we are underwritten by National Grid and supported by Lifetime Medical Services. And I am so proud to have these two men sitting here right now. And hello, 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 and welcome back to Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island here on AM 790, your station for talking business. Again, I want to thank our underwriting sponsor, National Grid, and our supporting sponsor, Lifetime Medical. They allow us to tell you about what's happening. There's a huge, huge event happening on June 18th. Not only is the CVS Health Charity Classic supporting a Waterfire, and it will be our one Waterfire in June, there's also the Pride Fest, which is happening throughout the day, and then they have a massive parade almost at the same time that we're going to be lighting Waterfire. I can't think of a better synergy of love and life and acceptance. And so I've been sitting here and I've been talking to my friend Arthur Richter and my husband, the Reverend Dr. Richard Dannenfelter, both who were, how do you put it?
Pioneers.
Pioneers is a great word, Richard. Thank you. Pioneers in this movement that has You know, it took so long, it feels like, but I'm so glad that it is here now. So, you know, I wanted to go back and speak a little bit more about the 40th anniversary of Pride. Again, what's happening for everyone out there, on Saturday, June 18th, during the day, there are music stages, there is celebrations, there is everything. We're going to have a little bit of gridlock as we look at traffic in town, but what we've done with city services, and thank you to our Colonel Hugh Clemens and Major Verdi and the traffic team and the entire city of Providence, we're going to put out where you might go, how you might get there, and how to make your life a little bit easier. But I would not suggest just coming to Waterfire that evening. I would suggest making it a day and a celebration of life. So I say that, and of course I talk too much, Arthur, don't I?
No. But I might add.
Are you asking me that question?
No, she directed it to me, Richard.
Oh, what?
You got quite a pair of bookends here.
I do.
But you know, when you talk about Waterfire and you talk about the parade, it's really an amazing thing because this is the only nighttime parade in the country.
Is it the only nighttime parade?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's the only illuminated parade in the country, so which is really quite a thing. So it's a wonderful combination. People can go from one to the other. And I can just see everybody who's coming to see the parade when it's over. If they don't go out to celebrate at the bars and block parties, they can always come down to Waterfire. I'm sure there are going to be a lot of gay flags flying in the water, and, you know, you just don't know.
Well, we're always supportive of anything
of course. That
is full of love. If you like love and you love people, we are supportive of anything that has to do with different, different cultures. Socioeconomical cultures, we love to celebrate everything. And, again, that's going to happen at night, but there's so much going on during the day.
Oh, absolutely. It's a whole day. From what I read in the Options magazine, and I'll tell you another story about coming out and being proud. Options magazine, I think, is, they'll shoot me that I don't know for sure, but 40 years old, 35 years old.
Well, if it's 40 years old, then happy birthday.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, at the beginning, it was a printed two-page mimeographed news mailing that went out, and it went out in a closed envelope. And about 5 years ago, the people at Options said, you know what, no more. And now it's a very lovely, bright, colorful monthly newspaper that comes out. It's a magazine now that comes with a little space at the bottom where they print your name. There's no envelopes. Everybody sees it. And it's something else that we are proud of and not afraid to have come to our mailbox.
Arthur, after 40 years, and like from the inception and what you've spoken with us about coming out, what's the difference that you see? And what would you like to see?
Well, the difference, I think, number one, is the acceptance of people around the world in most educated countries, I want to say. My personal life, I can't imagine it getting any better than it is now. And there is a national program which just popped into mind, which they were trying to use to help gay youth who are struggling with their identity. It's called It Gets Better. And I'll tell you one more story, and this is the epitome for me. When Peter and I decided to get married, and we decided to do it within 2 weeks. And we didn't want to have a big affair, because where do you begin if you want it? We decided we wanted to do it on our 10th anniversary, and that only gave us a two-week period. So our very dear friend who's a judge said he would marry us in his chambers. And then we realized we had to go to town hall to get a license.
And now, how difficult was that?
I've lived in Barrington since 1979. I fly a gay flag from my deck. Richard has been and both of you have been many events at my house where there are gay flags. But I got out of the car that day, Peter had already gone to sign the license, but I had to go as well. We'd never gave it a thought. And as I got out of the car, I thought to myself, oh, my God, I'm walking into town hall, and I'm going to tell them I want my marriage license. What are they going to think? Here I am. I was 76 years old, and I'm worried about what they're going to think, right?
Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm just going to laugh out loud.
So I walked up the steps, and as I walked into the doors, three of the secretaries were coming out of an office, and I know the people in town hall because I'm in and out of there a lot, and they said to me, what are you doing here today? And I stopped, and I went, I'm here to sign my marriage license. And then I stopped waiting to see what the reaction was going to be because we really hadn't, you know, told people other than our community. Well, I got hugs and kisses and cheers about it, and everybody in City Hall was wonderful. Just last week, Peter had to go to renew the dog's license, and we had written them a letter afterwards saying how grateful we were for their acceptance and how wonderful it made us feel.
By the way, the name's Miguel of the dog, and he's absolutely beautiful. So
and they thanked us for taking the time to say thank you for them being so welcoming to us. It's just something I couldn't have imagined 40 years ago, Brennan.
You know, it's funny. I talk to women these days even about how things have moved just in women's rights over the years. And it seems like time is moving so quickly, and I'm so glad it's about time that things moved so quickly. But, you know, back in the 70s, they were throwing bras and burning bras. And, you know, those were our mothers, and or at least at that time, my mothers, my aunts, my sisters. I have always believed in love. Rich, I want to ask you something. Because as a chaplain at Brown and knowing Arthur since the beginning, that must have been a very different time and place to be. And why did you decide that you were going to open that office to all love?
Well, I happen to believe that our sexuality is a gift from God. We are all sexual from womb to tomb. We all have a right to pleasure, to enjoy, and share or choose not to share their sexuality and their body in a safe, secure place and comfort. That is that's an issue of stewardship. The other thing is, I remember, I don't know whether Arthur remembers this, but when we first met, I think one of the things that I said to him, God wants us to be who we are and not to be what we ain't, because if you be what you ain't, you can't be what you are. God loves every one of his children as if there are only one of us. And you know, my calling, being a Calvinist from the Bronx, and I want to point something out. You know, there's been a lot of there's been a lot of things to celebrate and give thanks for. If the only prayer in your life you say is thank you, that would suffice. However, let's not be foolish. There is still a lot of homophobia. There is still a lot of sexism. There is still a lot of genderism. And there's still a lot of racism. Perhaps now it's a little bit more institutionalized. So we have to be aware that the fight goes on.
If I can interrupt there, absolutely. When you think of the last class that I did for Lifelong Learning was the history of gays and lesbians in America. And I tell everybody that I learned a lot because we brought in speakers for every subject that had to do with being gay and sexuality. And when we had the transgendered speakers come in and tell their stories, it was something. I mean, 40 years ago, nobody was talking about they're gay, but you would never talk about transgendered at that time. And now look at the fights that are going on. And our country, as Richard said, hasn't changed 100%. And there are still people who would hate me, and there are still people who would hate transgendered people. I just can't get that. And I'm just so glad that we've gotten to where we are and that everybody is continuing to fight for the rights of
everyone. We're talking about love here, you know, as love, you know, the only thing, look, the only thing that's real in life is love. Everything else is an illusion. And the other thing about love, justice always has to walk love's talk. Otherwise, love is just spitting in the wind.
Well, I want to thank you both, gentlemen. You've been listening to AM 790 and Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island. And Arthur Richter and Dr. Reverend Richard Dannenfeldt.
And your husband.
Yes, and my husband. I would like to thank you for opening up the doors and making this, it should always be easy, and it should always be all about love.
Could I just say, one of the persons I've been reading has greatly affected me is Mayor Angelou, who died recently. And Mayor Angelou said, one of the things she's learned, people will forget what you do, people will forget what you say, but people will never forget how you make them feel. So let's be challenged and always go out there and help people to love and also to feel loved.